Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Today, we're going to learn how to use Advent resources to homeschool during the holidays with special guest Carrie Beck from How to Homeschool My Child. Welcome, Carrie, and welcome to Empowering Homeschool Conversations. We're so glad to have you here.
Well, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here. I look forward to this conversation.
Yes, me too. Especially, I'm looking forward to it. I asked Carrie, what would you like to share? And she started sending me link after link after link. She's got so many resources on this and related topics. So I just encourage you to stay here and listen to this conversation, because you're going to have get a lot of wisdom and a lot of resources from Carrie during this hour that we're going to be chatting. And so also, if you're joining us live, which we love, that's why we do these broadcasts live, we would love for you to be able to tell us who you are, where you're coming from, and let us know if you have any questions about Advent or Advent in homeschool, holiday unit studies. It's kind of been our theme this whole month is holiday unit studies. And we've approached that from a couple different angles already. In our last broadcast, we've talked about unit studies using family traditions and unit studies with just tons of different ideas. We went into botanicals and a whole bunch of stuff last week, so you'll have to go back to that. But we're going to focus on the Advent season especially, and Carrie is going to just encourage us in that. And so, Carrie, as we're getting started, I would just love our viewers to get to know you a little better, and what makes you passionate about homeschooling and unit studies and the Advent season. I guess I'll include all of that in there and just let you kind of fill that in however you feel led.
Oh, that sounds good. So first of all, thank you for having me again. And
absolutely.
You know, when I think about, you know, I was a public school teacher for 6 years and thought I would never homeschool. Now, I didn't really say it out loud, but my husband did say it out loud. And then all of a sudden, we started homeschooling our kids. It was really our last choice. And then we just fell in love with it. And then eventually started speaking at homeschool conferences. And that really changed my whole perspective of education. I have a master's in curriculum and instruction, and yet I have learned more about education as a homeschool mom than I have anything. And I've probably taught myself so many things about education. And so I am passionate because believe homeschooling gives you freedom. My kids went to a private school for a few years before we started homeschooling, and I probably shouldn't say this, but sitting in that carpool line just felt like prison. Like, I was just like so sick of it, and I wanted that freedom. So that's the first thing. But thing that I believe is one of the most important things we can do in homeschool is build relationships with our within our family.
Yeah.
And that's just so multi-purpose. There's so many things you can do. But I have a great relationship with all three of my children. They're all grown up. They're adults. Two are married with grandkids. And we have a good time when we get together. We have a good relationship. But we also have a relationship in Jesus Christ. And so they're all walking. Now, I'm not saying that always happens. That hasn't always happened in our family. So if some of you are dealing with a child that's older, that's not walking with Jesus, I understand, because we've had our ups and downs, especially during those college years. But praise God, they are all walking with God. So we also have a relationship with each other within Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I will say this, and they will tell you this, there was a foundation that was laid during the years that they were here.
Yes.
And so, and I could go on and on about Bible and listening to God and all of that, but let's just the holidays, and you mentioned Advent. I didn't celebrate Advent growing up, you know? We sort of had heard of it, but it wasn't really Christmas. It was Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Right.
And really, as I became a homeschool mom, I started to learn so much. A lot of it began in our history and then church history and what was going on. And we quickly, through Advent, we quickly implemented Advent as part of our celebrations. Huh. And I will say, sometimes, if I'm real technical, I think of Advent sort of, I mean, there are certain days in the but like from Thanksgiving till like right before Christmas, that time of preparation. And then we have celebration of Christmas and then Epiphany. But sometimes I intertwine, or I use Christmas and Advent interchangeably, meaning sometimes I'll say the word Christmas and I'm really talking about part of Advent as well. So if I say that, excuse me, as it comes out there.
No, that's good. I think that kind of leads into a really good first question is, you know, what is Advent for those people that maybe don't know or haven't heard of that word before, or maybe have, but it's kind of this vague, well, that's what people do in church, or, you know, how could that even be something we could incorporate into homeschool. So I think just understanding what Advent is probably a good place to start.
Yeah, I think that is. I think, at least in the research that I've done, Advent name is anticipation or the word arrival. Jesus is arriving, and so we are going to anticipate his arrival, and we are going to spend time, you know, sort of like kids' birthday party. They anticipate that for weeks, and I don't know, it depends on your family. They may be planning every detail. So as Christians, we need to anticipate our celebration of the arrival of Jesus Christ here on earth as a baby. And I think some of the things, when I think of Advent, I think of that time period between Thanksgiving and Christmas. There are 4 weeks of Advent. But I also think this is a time, sometimes we need to slow down and sort of have some introspection, some examination of ourselves. And moms, you may need to actually sort of go through this process yourself so that you can then explain and be able to help your kids at their level. Because personally, the introspection I had when school mom was different than my 10-year-old was. And so as far as preparing, we need to have some time of preparing our hearts for Jesus. And it's so hard because we get so caught up in the busyness and the hustle and the bustle and all of that kind of stuff. And so, I mean, one of the phrases that I encourage moms to do in Advent is just to slow down.
It is so good.
Difficult. in our society.
It is. It is. But you bring up a good point, too, that these resources not only can speak to our children's hearts, they can speak to our hearts. We had a discussion in our community group for church recently, and lots of young moms in there. And I just had to really encourage them. I'm like, when you are homeschooling, because a lot of them are homeschool moms, you are feeding your heart too. Don't forget that time can be for you as well as your children, because sometimes they don't have a whole lot of time for that independent Bible study. But allow God to feed you while you're doing these things with your kids. And I think we often forget that these times can be for us too, and not just our kids. So I love that you pointed that out, and we need to be filled ourselves in order to feed our children and what they need. So awesome.
I agree. I like one little comment is one of the things I tell homeschool moms is the way your children learn the best is by you modeling. More is caught than taught. And it goes right along with what you say. If we aren't growing in Christ ourselves, it's sort of hard to pour out. Even if it's just had a friend give me this example, and I shared it a lot. My life group has lots of young people, and one of them said, Carrie, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm like, it wasn't that big a deal. But she said when she didn't have time to have a personal Bible study, she kept her Bible open on the counter, and she would read one verse in the morning and read the same verse every time she walked by the kitchen counter. And I thought, that's, you know, you don't have to spend 2 hours. You don't have to read a whole book of the Bible. One verse can really have an impact, and sometimes more impact. So you could do the same thing with Advent. In your Advent reading, think of one verse and then use it for yourself and then use it for your children as well.
Yeah. After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
So, you know, that brings a good point, because I've seen that done with Advent calendars. And so I want to bring in this topic of Advent calendars. And what exactly is an Advent calendar? Because I know we can buy varieties of them out there, and people probably look at them and go, oh, that's cute. It's a countdown to Christmas. Well, not exactly. But what is the purpose and usefulness of an Advent calendar, I guess? And then maybe some ways that your family has utilized those types of resources with your own homeschooling.
Sure, I will. Let's start with what it's not. Looking at it from a Christian perspective, we're looking at this is a chance for us to prepare our hearts for Jesus. We had Advent. I should have brought them in. Usually I actually bring them in and hold them up. But, I mean, we have all sorts of Advent calendars. And some of them are just fun Advent calendars. Like, I just bought a little storybook calendar for my granddaughter, which has a little bitty baby storybook every day. So that's fine. But the true Advent calendar, I would say, is giving you some ideas through Advent that will keep your focus back on Jesus Christ. I think that's what we really want during Advent. Mm-hmm. Now, if I had some of my Advent calendars, I will just describe them. I can't believe I didn't do this.
Well, that's okay, because we're on the podcast too, so they're not going to be able to see it either.
One of them is a wooden Christmas tree, and every day you hang a little symbol, like an ornament on there. Fun. I got this after the kids were gone. If I were doing that type of thing, there are little doors on the bottom. I might print out a Bible verse for every single day, scroll it up. And so when they get the little ornament, the fun thing, then we all maybe at the breakfast table read that verse, talk about it, and then we have it on our minds all day long.
Right.
So that would be one idea. One of the calendars that my mom gave me, and it is actually, a 3x4 piece of fabric on a dowel, and there's this giant snow scene, and there's this bear that's, and you move the little bear to different places for the 25 days. So it has nothing to do with Jesus. But a friend of mine took that and she made little pockets for the 25 days at the bottom. And then she would stuff activities and things that they could do. So you could choose activities that go along with Advent and preparing your hearts for Jesus. One of those might be on the each Sunday is the beginning of Advent week, and so that stands for something different. You could actually, for each of the Sundays for that, put light the Advent candle of love or joy or peace or whichever one it happens to be, and then you can talk about that as well. So that would be another idea. I think the biggest thing is connecting your calendars to something that prepares your kids for Jesus. And if they're 3, 4, 5, it will look different than if they're 10, 13, 15.
That's so true. Yes.
So it grew as we went. And for instance, we did the candles and the lighting of the candles. Another thing we did was we read a book called Jotham's Journey.
Oh, and I love that book. Yes.
Me too. And so it is set up by the Advent. And, you know, so every day you read a little part. Okay, so let me just explain. It's a story about a boy that is set in the time of Jesus' birth. He, I won't tell you all, but he does get separated from his family. I do not recommend it for, you know, little kids because there's some danger and my little grandgirls would get scared. But, but we waited till they were like in elementary school and read that book so much. They loved it so much. We read it year after year for several years.
Yes.
So you read the story and then at the very end, there's like a little paragraph that tells that portion of the story to the story of Jesus. Bring some biblical application to that. So that is a different way. It's not really a calendar, but it is a way that you can keep track of Advent along the way.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, as my kids got older, I created a Bible study called a Bethlehem Family Bible Study Guide. And it's all about looking at things in the sky, astronomy versus astrology, but then going to Matthew 2. And working through 9 clues in Matthew 2 of what that astronomical being is. And so that is more something you probably do with your high schooler kids, but it was something that we could do. They could work on it independently if they were at that age they could. And then we could talk about that each week according to whatever sentence we were doing. Yeah. So there's a few little, I mean, those are some calendar type things. Yes. I will just mention I have a free Advent countdown calendar and it's daily emails for 25 days. And I know you're going to put that in the show notes, but
yes, I am.
That's just one idea every day to help you, you know, keep up with doing something that prepares your heart for Jesus.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point is, you know, just one thing a day and it doesn't have to like consume your whole homeschool schedule. If you really feel like your kids need to stay on track and stay with the same things, I know a lot of our kids in our community, they like that consistency. And so this would not, you know, completely upset the apple cart for that consistency that they want to happen, but it could just be in place of the devotions that you do in the morning or a good way to include an activity like around breakfast that could really set the tone for the day. I know we one year had a huge jar that we filled with these tiny little gift boxes. Actually, they were like the takeout boxes and they were labeled with each of the numbers. And then we put a scripture inside each one of them. And sometimes we did that for like the Joshua tree where you put the different symbols on just a twig we brought in from outside. So there's just so many ideas out there about that countdown process. So yes, there's lots of resources and definitely Carrie has, one free one for you out there that you don't even have to look for. It'll be in the notes, for the podcast and the YouTube description. So Carrie, one thing you brought up was a wreath. Do you want to talk a little bit about just how the wreath has been used in some Christian traditions during the Advent time, if people have not been familiar with that?
Definitely. Well, I will tell you, our wreath I just bought at the store somewhere, so it's a fake wreath, but it has little candle holders in it, and you can put I'm going to get my colors mixed up because it's been a year. It's white and a pink.
It's changed in different churches that I've been in, so I don't think there's any rhyme or reason sometimes to it.
That's probably true. I think I tend to get the red candles because I like the red for Christmas. But anyway, so you have a candle in each of the four candle holders, and each Sunday Advent, so and it sort of depends on the calendar. Like sometimes we have like 5 weeks or, you know, we have a long time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and other times there's a short time. But a lot of times I'm just going to, and I haven't looked up this calendar, but a lot of times Advent will start the Sunday after Thanksgiving, and that would be the first Sunday of Advent. You would light that Advent calendar in the first, and again, these are the four ideas that I have, but then I have seen altering. But the first Sunday is hope, and so you could talk about hope and read some Bible verses about hope. But let the kids light the candle and ask them questions about what does hope mean to you? Who should our hope be in? And then the second Sunday is peace, and then joy, and then love. And so that's what I have. I will tell you, I don't even think I shared this with you, but I actually have a blog post for each Sunday that sort of what it is with a few little ideas that you could do with your children as well. Yeah, I'm really into Advent and Christmas, you can tell. Yes. So,
that's why you're a perfect guest for this time.
I guess. But it just sort of keeps you focused. And if daily is too much, you could do it as well, and light that candle. If you can't do it on Sunday, do it on Monday night. I mean, we're not so tied to, I mean, we can't, don't get legalistic about exactly the right day. But then the center, there's a center candle, and the center candle is lit on Christmas Eve, and that is in for the arrival of Jesus. That is the focus of the center candle as well.
Yes. And there's a variety of different things that you can get out there. And, you know, even if flames might be a problem, you might want to do the fake candles, but there is something about that real light, that real candlelight. And it was a tradition I grew up with. And so we try to keep ours on our kitchen table, because, you know, family meals are important. And so that was always something we could center around as well. But thank you for sharing that. And yes, if every day is too much, once a week, just to bring us back, because the holidays can really throw us off of what, because we live in such a materialistic society, that we can get so caught up in the shopping and the buying and the cookies and the, you know, everything else that comes into this season that overwhelms us and takes us away from the real purpose of the season. And so, so the things that you're talking about, Carrie, are awesome to just draw us back, and to get us refocused. So, yeah. And how have you seen these types of things, just work out in your own family?
Well, I will tell you, I know you mentioned, you know, you can keep doing your thing, but I will tell you the first year I homeschooled, and we started homeschooling, I think my oldest was in fifth grade. So we had done the private school for a while, and then we homeschooled. One of the best pieces of advice, this is from my friend, had kids same age. She had been homeschooling since kindergarten. She's like, Carrie, we take off the month of December between Thanksgiving. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm a type A person. Is this really going to work? You know what? I followed her advice. We did not quit homeschooling. We just quit our normal academics. Did my kids forget by January? Not really. But, you know, there was something I felt like they needed to continue, multiplication facts or whatever. We could continue that. But we continued to read every day. So that meant we could keep the reading going. They were still reading on their own. They were writing letters for Christmas time. They were cooking. They were doing all sorts of things. And so whatever we did during those time between Thanksgiving and Christmas, mm-hmm. it still had academic purpose, but right. it was not necessarily our textbooks or our whatever we were curriculum that we were working through. And right. did my kids get behind? Not really, because I'm sort of like, you just keep going and then you mm-hmm. just pick up where you are. Anyway, so we did a lot of things like that. I will share one of my favorite things, and we just happened upon it, but my children will probably say it is their favorite memory of Christmas or Advent tradition. And the reason I want to is it is an others focused activity. We live in a society where it's all entitlement. Me, let me make my Christmas list, that kind of thing. Yeah. And we wanted to do something, and we were a family that would give. I mean, we would find a family for Thanksgiving and Christmas and take them food and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. This is just a little bit twist on that. What we would do is we would pick a family that was on the mission field, international mission field. And usually it was someone the kids had either heard of them, we were praying for them, or they actually knew their children as well from them coming home. And what we would do is in November and first week of December, my kids would sell pumpkin bread loaves and chocolate chip cookies and bake them and take them. They'd take the orders, they would sell them, and then they'd have to come back and then do all the math to figure out how much money did they spend on everything. How much, what do these kids want? Okay, we're going to have to store and budget that and figure that out, but we have to be able to ship it overseas. And so there was a lot of math going on. There was the baking. If I wanted to talk about physical and chemical changes, we could do that. Right. But they all will say that was one of their favorite activities. I think their heart just felt so good. And we bought, one year we bought dress-up clothes for these little girls. Another year we bought board games. Another year, which was really early in the computer life, is we bought some computerized games. This is before online games. Stuff like that. So whatever that family was not able to provide for themselves, we were able to go and buy something like that. And the reason I say this is favorite, my middle daughter, Gentry, does not like pumpkin bread at all. Everyone else lives with the pumpkin bread, but she does not like it. And her job right before she had children was working at a nonprofit. And one December, they had to bring something that represented a family tradition for them. And she told me, Mom, I just kept thinking and thinking. I just was like, what can I take that's not pumpkin bread? Because I don't like pumpkin bread. She said that was the thing that made the biggest impact on her. So she went through and bread for that day. So that's one of our favorite activities to sort of, and we just sort of tied school into things like that. And there are other things we did. I could just go on and on about it. We did study in history. We would study St. Nicholas, St. Boniface, St. Lucia, and Gentry. I guess I'll pick on her again. She loved St. Lucia and dressed up as St. Lucia for probably 6 or 8 years. Again, one of the links I have for you, there's a link to her blog post, and it has a picture of her with her little bun on and the candles and the buns that she made. And for those of you that don't know, St. Lucia is the patron saint of light. And so they would celebrate, I think it's on the shortest day, where there's not much light at all outside. And then, so the St. Lucia, I think it's the oldest daughter, but she wanted to do it, and she would serve her brother and sister in bed these rolls that she had made, these St. Lucia. So those are the kinds of things that we did. And you talk about unit study, those are things you could actually do. Like you could do a whole unit study on the different saints. And I'm not talking, I'm not going to get into Protestant, Catholic, and all of that kind of stuff. But these are believers, true believers. Like St. Nicholas was a real person. He wasn't the Coca-Cola. And he was like, December 6th. And because I'm German, my kids still remember putting their shoes out.
Oh, yes, and getting treats in them. Uh-huh.
There is history to go behind that. So we could spend some time looking at those kinds of things.
Yeah, absolutely. Tying that back to all of those Christian traditions. I mean, we're celebrating a Christian holiday in Christmas, and a lot of times there's so many other things that can get in the way. So just focusing on that. And I think that's what that Advent season really brings us back to, is why are we doing this? What are we doing to be purposeful towards it? And then, you know, building that into our daily and weekly schedule and what we do on a normal basis.
I will mention one thing. When I guess as maybe even before we homeschool, when the kids were younger and they were growing up, I wanted to take them to every activity that was made in our city. Mm. And what would happen, I'm just going to tell the story on me. What would happen by Christmas Day, I was crying in the car as we're driving from Steve's family to my family. And I had a good little pity party right in front of my whole family, and I would be crying, "You haven't done anything, done everything." Well, God did. You were talking about we need to take care of the things, but God, God did a work in me. And he was like, "Carrie, I want you to slow down." So I want to share this because I'm sharing a lot of activities. You've got to do what works in your family. For our family, came up with this, and all Steve wanted to do was just spend time in the evenings at home, reading Jotham's Journey, build a fire, just being with our family. Mm-hmm. We came up with, during the Advent, that time period, we only did two family activities outside of our home. Everything else was within our home, and it was fun and things that we could do with the kids. So I do want to share, if you're feeling overwhelmed, take a look at all the things you're trying to do, and maybe you just need to take a step back and swallow it up and quit trying to do everything like I had to finally do. The two activities here really helped us stay focused on Christ.
That's such good advice. I mean, and you can change those two activities every year. So eventually you can build in a lot of things. You just don't have to do them all in that same month. That is very wise. Because yes, we can burn ourselves out and then nobody's having fun. And the memories they have aren't the ones we want them to remember, for sure. So, you know, there's so many different resources, and I know, you know, as we've gone to church and, you know, just even the Christian bookstore, all these resources on Advent, what would be some ways to take, you know, things that were either given from our church, you know, other Advent resources that, you know, we may already have in our homes, and to use them to craft or to make a unit study around or just use it as one of those purposeful reminders, like we were talking about earlier, and maybe how you've seen that done in the past or how you've done that in your own home.
Well, I would say don't try to do everything. Like, you can't make a unit study about everything in Advent. I would try to pick a topic of some sort. I will pick one of the ones I did with my kids. I have it. We've created a unit study as well. It's called Christmas Around the World. And it starts with, so the countries, and you've got, I can't remember, reading and language arts and writing and geography and everything else. Mm-hmm. But we start with Bethlehem because that is the true story of Christmas. Mm-hmm. And so we can make sure our kids understand what that's all about. And then whether you buy a prepared unit or do it yourself, pick maybe four more countries. So there's a variety of ways you could do it. You just do one country each year. And every year you choose a different country and you just spend some time, especially if you want something low key. And all you need to do is go find, you could find books about it. You can look at the history of it. What are their traditions and cultures? What is the music there? What are the crafts? What are the foods that they eat? you can go through all the topics. You can even do science. There's probably some science thing can learn as well. About. And think about Bethlehem and the star Bethlehem. You could actually tie all of that astronomy in there. So you could do one country a month, or you could do it for a week, and you could do one country for every day of the week, and you would just cover five countries. It's really up to you, you know, and you may have an interest because your family is in this country and you may want to go and explore that.
Right.
So that would be one way to do it. Another thing that I would think about, and you know, to be honest, I don't know all the prepared Advent unit studies, but you could go back to the different believers that they celebrate in November, and because some of them, St. Andrew's, and some of these are started in November. Again, you can spend one day on each person that we are honoring because of their faith in Jesus Christ. St. Boniface, there's a story where he is in Germany because he moved from England to Germany, and this little boy in, and he says, "My sister's about to be sacrificed. She was a Vestal Virgin." They go running down the wherever to the forest, and he puts his hand out with the cross, and the knife saves the little girl. He has opportunity to share the sacrifice of Jesus, and you no longer have to make sacrifices anymore. So you can go and read all the stories of these great believers in history, and then tie it into a writing activity or to an art activity or whatever you want to do. And then the last one, we did this too, is just looking at the different symbols and the celebrations that we have, like the holly and the ivy or the Christmas tree. And there's all different symbols that we have. Christmas cards, where you could go and study all the history of that. Some of them have Christian backgrounds that you may not even realize. And so you could go studies and then, you know, find a book about this, read about it, and do an activity. I was just looking at something old, and the candy cane. There's a really cool picture story, the candy cane legend. You can read that. We've got a little craft that you can make with beads. You could go eat your candy canes, make whatever with candy canes. But there's a lot, and there's a Christian story in that as well. So I would pick a topic or a theme for your unit study, and then build it up. And I'm guessing y'all talked a little bit about what unit studies are and that type of thing.
Yes, yeah, we did talk about that. So if you're interested even, you know, what is a unit study, go back the last couple weeks and definitely listen to those conversations. But I think, Carrie, you did a really good job of encapsulating that just in what you were talking about too. But I think that, you know, the real main theme that we're sticking to here is that no matter what you study, it's bringing it back to that purpose of this is preparation for the holiday, and it's a Christian holiday. So we are focusing on Christ, which, you know, not all unit studies are written that way, but it doesn't mean that you can't make it that way. So I thank you, Carrie, for pointing that out, is that we can find the root of where the story came from. And most often, more than not, because it's included in this season, it has some history or base reason from the original story of Christmas.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. So you're sharing a lot of resources with us. I would love for you to just kind of go through the links and resources that you've shared with me to put in the YouTube description as well as in the podcast description, to just let our viewers know what different types of resources that they will find there, and then we'll talk a little bit more about your overall resources as well. But yeah, what?
Well, I don't have every link written down on these notes, but I will tell you that I do have a blog post that Advent family traditions. And so my website is howtohomeschoolmychild.com. Mm-hmm. And this one is actually /advent-family-traditions. I have that one written down. And it actually has a lot of what I've shared, but it also has links to specific blog posts about some of the things that I've shared as well. Mm. Things I think it's on there is you can make graham cracker nativity scenes. And so you could create the whole thing and then let your kids tell the story as well.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So there's some fun. I'm all about food too. And I pulled food out, my kids were like, oh my gosh, we're going to get to eat in school today. So anyway, there's one thing.
Favorite subject of my kids was eating. Yes.
I mentioned the Advent Countdown Calendar, so that is a free resource, and I don't have the exact URL, but it'll be in the notes. I also offer every year a masterclass called 3 Clues to Keep Christ in Christmas, and one of those clues really dives into Advent, and so that's why I say sometimes I use the word Christmas, probably because more people understand it, but we do spend time in that class, and it is November 29th. It is the Tuesday after I think that's after, and this podcast may be coming up on that day. Yeah. Even if you are hearing this after, we do have a replay that's up for at least a week. And so that would be a free class that you would be able to get some more information as well. We dive sort of deep into some of those things. You'll see here a few of the same stories, but that's okay. Yeah. But that is free as well. And I had another free thing, and I don't have it written down there.
I've got, let's see, I don't think I copied over your list, but I copied it to my other form. Well, I can look that up. I remember the Star of Bethlehem. I don't know if that was a paid.
There are a few that are paid, and we're going to create a code, a coupon code. So if any of these sound interesting to you, you can get 30% off of them. And I think we have that good until December 5th. And so we'll be sharing that. I do have the Star of Bethlehem Bible study that I mentioned earlier. And that, you know, I did say high schoolers should be able to do that completely independently. They should even get some science and Bible credit in there, because they're going to be diving into astronomy and astrology and what's the difference, and then go through all the clues and like, what is this a star? Is this a planet? What in the world is this? But if you have a variety of kids' ages, I would recommend letting your older kids do it independently and then gather as a family. Even preschoolers, just give them some Legos or something to keep their hands busy. But you would be surprised. They are probably still listening, because sometimes I'm talking and then my 3-year-old grandchild repeats something and I'm like, where did you hear that? And like Faith, our 8-year-old granddaughter last year, I mean, she had us all gathered around at Thanksgiving. She had her whole Fisher-Price nativity set completely set up, and she starts telling the story the stuff. I'm like, where did she learn this? Well, she had been on the YouTube Kids version listening to the Bible story on her own, and then was integrating some of the facts that none of us had even known about. So anyway, there are lots, even though they're little, they can still gather. So make it a family time that your older kids can have a little more input, but you can all read the Bible verses and talk about them together. However you do that with your family. That's Star of Bethlehem. I do have Christmas Around the World. It's a unit study as well. Mm-hmm. And good for like, well, you preschoolers could like it. Preschoolers all the way up to say middle school as well. And then
that's a good range.
Mm-hmm. It is, because we've got different ages. I didn't list this. I have a Christmas unit study for preschoolers and kindergartners as well. Mm-hmm. And it's all based on literature. Unit is based on a book. And so that's sort of fun. And then Christmas celebrations, Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. And that just compiles a lot of the things that I learned as we began to add some celebrations to us, to be able to add purpose and intention. And I will just, one of the things that we did that I didn't know about, I didn't know what epiphany was. But
I was going to say, I'd love for you to touch on that, even though it's not because a lot of people don't know what that is. We get done with Christmas and we're done.
That yeah. is so true. Well, and you have a few people like in the England, Canada that do the Boxing Day and thing like mm-hmm. on the 26th. Yeah. But in our studies, I started to learn what Epiphany was. What that is, mm-hmm. is it, the Feast of Epiphany, I believe, is January 6th. It is a yep. celebration to honor the three wise men that come to mm-hmm. visit Jesus. And so that, again, goes back to my Bethlehem and these men coming and looking for mm-hmm. him. But between Christmas and the Feast of Epiphany are 12 days. And that yeah. is really where we get the 12 days of Christmas. Uh-huh. Not before Christmas,
right.
but afterwards. And mm-hmm. one of the things we do in here, in this book, is talk about, and we discuss what each of those days, each of them really have a biblical significance. For instance, yes. Two turtle doves is the Old Testament. And the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Now, I have read this, and I don't know if I read it much, but that there was a time period, say in the Middle Ages or something, where people could not really freely talk about Jesus mm. and Christmas. So they had this song, and it stood, each of those days, each of those symbols stands for something that is spiritual, something true yeah. to believers and to their faith as well. And mm-hmm. so we go through and we explain those 12 days, and we even give you ideas if you would like to give a little gift, like I just go to the dollar store, but I wrap up 12 little gifts for my grandkids because this was long after my kids were little. And so they just have a little something from the dollar store that they can, that relates to that day of well. So that's this awesome. Book sort of, we've got Advent idea. Well, we got really mm-hmm. Thanksgiving at the beginning, and then we have Advent, right. then we have some Christmas ideas, and then we have Epiphany, and also some go along with that.
Yeah, yeah. It really just brings that purpose, and really Christmas becomes the center of that and that celebration instead of the end, because those 12 days of Christmas just really lead up to, you know, that continual, these are the truths now based on this gift that we have received, and how powerful that is to continue it and said, well, we got our presents, Christmas is done. And yeah, I grew up in a tradition where Epiphany was celebrated a lot. Yes. And so I appreciated that as we raised our kids too. So yeah. Well, thank you for sharing that. So so I want you to talk just a little bit about your website and in general, also resources. I'm sure you focus on more than Christmas. And so what else can our community and viewers find on your site, and what other resources do you offer homeschool families?
Well, again, my website is howtohomeschoolmychild.com, and we do have lots of free, we've got blog, and we've got every Monday I go live in our Facebook group right now. Yesterday I just started holiday homeschooling, and we started with we're recording this before Thanksgiving, so we talked about the first Thanksgiving and how we can develop gratitude as we study that story. Next week we'll talk about other ideas on gratitude, but I'll be going through and sharing some ideas that we actually use to integrate holidays into our homeschool so that the kids actually get restless. And so anyway, just some ways to sort of reduce all the overwhelm and take it easy with our homeschool. So that's in our Facebook group, and that is a private Facebook group that you can join, and it's at facebook.com/groups how to homeschool my child. So, and
I'll have that link in there too. Yes.
The other thing we're doing, some of the resources that we offer are, the other thing I was going to say, my Facebook then goes on to YouTube. So you could go to the YouTube. Mm-hmm. Some people are not into Facebook, and I know there's a lot of homeschool moms. So we all ensure our videos are posted both in Facebook and in YouTube as well. Awesome. So, some of the things that we have resources for, we have a lot of holidays. We have some Easter resources on the skies of the cross. But one of our flag products is called Raising Leaders, Not Followers. It's a biblical integration to Christian leadership. And what it is, is it takes a variety, it takes a lot of what you hear about how to homeschool and puts it all together, but with the complete purpose of raising our kids to lead for Jesus Christ. Now, we obviously we need to teach them Jesus, but if they are following Jesus, God can use them. And I've had some people go, but not everyone's going to grow up to be a leader. And there's two things I would say. First of all, the definition of leadership is influence. Nothing more, nothing less. It's just influence. You will influence people as you grow up. Your kids will. I would say 98, 99% of your kids will be dads and moms. They will need to lead their children well. Are they prepared lead in Jesus Christ? So this is a course that we offer. It'll be opened again in January, and we will have free courses leading up to that. So, you know, if you get on my blog, sign up for our email list, and you'll be, or in the Facebook group, we'll also be notifying people. But this will cover our four steps. Our four steps for a good leader is a foundation of character, a love of learning and the tools of learning, critical thinking skills so they can make wise decisions as leaders. And then number four is moms. We talked about this at the beginning. It all begins with moms. And you educate yourself. And so that's number four, but we really start with moms so that moms feel some confidence and get rid of some of that overwhelm so that they can move forward in their homeschool. So we have that.
Awesome.
Also do have lots of prepared unit studies on patriotic holidays and the ocean and the ladybug, and I don't remember
a lot.
I can also send you to in site there is a link to our store, and so you can just sort of filter. There's plenty of other stuff, but that's just sort of a few little ideas.
Those are all awesome. It's great. I appreciate all the resources you have available. And I know people are just looking for good resources. And you've heard Carrie's heart, and I'm sure that you'll understand this. She pours herself into these things as much as she has this hour. And I just encourage you to dig in and try out some of the freebies. And then if those really connect with you and your family, to look at what else she has to offer that you can use. So, yeah, this has been awesome. I have appreciated all that you have shared, and we've really, it's been a good mid. We have 5 weeks in this this topic that we're talking about, unit studies. And again, we're centered now around Christ as we continue the series. But what an important discussion. And as we're leading into this holiday season and being grateful and thankful, and then slowing ourselves down into the real purpose of Christmas, and just the resources you talked about, Carrie, and the ability to not overwhelm ourselves in being purposeful. We can be purposeful without being overwhelmed. And I think that's a really good point that you made during this time. So thank you again. And you said you were going to have a code for
Yes, I just the code I was just thinking of was Peggy22, your first name. I thought that would be simple. I will tell you, I'll be making it as soon as we sign off on the video, but that should be ready by the time the podcast comes out. It'll be ready. So any of our holiday resources, you can get 30% off on those resources.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate that and appreciate you being a resource for our community. I know we know that our community wouldn't be supported unless there were people like you that had all these gifts that you were so willing to share and utilize for the betterment of kids' education and just for the glory of God. So we appreciate you in doing that. So thank you for your time. This has been an incredible conversation, and I'm glad that you had time to come on the show.
Well, this has been my pleasure, and I will close with one thing. Just keep your eyes focused on Jesus as a mom, and he tell you everything else you need to do. Just keep going back to him and keep that relationship. And then the rest of life may not be completely easy, but he will take you through whatever it is.
Exactly. So true. Yep. Absolutely. Well, we're going to have another exciting conversation next week. Cheryl Swoop, if you do not know who she is, she's been on the show many times. She used to be on the board of directors for Sped Homeschool and is the author of Simply Classical Homeschool Curriculum. But she's going to be talking about using good books to create all-in-one holiday unit studies. So that is going to be our conversation next week. So you'll want to join us then. So just want to thank all of you who joined us for this conversation and stayed on. We were kind of quiet today, but that's okay. Carrie and I had definitely enough to talk about on our own. So we encourage you, though, to join us live and ask questions. If you've been listening on the podcast, check out our calendar to see what's coming up and if there's a guest that you have questions for. I know a lot of you probably can't make it to homeschool conferences, and so we want to make these wonderful speakers and resources like Carrie available to you so that you can interact with them. So that's why we do what we do. All right. Well, we'll see you all again next week. This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations provided by Sped Homeschool. Make sure you go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home. And to help us fund our nonprofit Reached Out to families of diverse learners, you can click on the donate button to give one-time donation or become a monthly supporter of our nonprofit work. And like I said, next week on Empowering Homeschool Conversations, we're going to talk about using good books to create comprehensive unit studies. So take care, everybody, and God bless, and we'll see you back here next week. Bye, everyone. I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
What do you do when the world around you is falling apart? It's amazing to me how many people are breathing air. They're going about their business and doing the things you're supposed to do. But if you really ask them, they know that on the inside, they are spiritually and emotionally and relationally dead. If we're not careful, all of us can experience that death. When what we need to do, even as the world around us is falling apart, we need to learn how to march when it would be easier to stay where we are and die. Join me each week on the March or Die Show as we discuss that and so much more.